So tell me, how was life like in Russia prior to coming to the US?
It was challenging for me, but I feel like it was not as nearly challenging as it was for my parents. So they picked everything up, packed, you know, all of our possessions in as many bags as we could, and we came here.
What gave you the faith, the excitement to start your own company?
I didn't want to have a boss. And those are all funny things because it turned out to be completely opposite.
How did it turn out to be opposite?
Before I had one boss, now I have every single client as a boss.
Oh, that's a good point.
And cybersecurity is so challenging because you're not fixing computer issues. You're thinking the way that a criminal would be thinking, right?
Because
you gotta be thinking like, where is the vulnerability? How can criminal leverage various ways to get in? And where is the risk for the business?
We need IT,
100%.
Yeah.
100%. So we have what we call three uniques. Our first unique is we don't do band-aid fixes. Number two, we are super easy to get a hold of. And then the third is we're an extension of your organization.
Hey family, I'm your host, Mikey Latia, and today I have a special treat for all of my business owners out there. Are you confident in your company's cybersecurity and IT support? Do you have a dedicated team ready to tackle your IT needs at a moment's notice? If no, you're in the right place. Join me in welcoming Roman Goldstein, the owner of The Computer Guy, a leading IT management company with over two decades of experience in business. Roman and his team excel in providing immediate top-notch service to meet their clients in needs. Roman, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing real good.
Awesome. It's so great to see you today. I'm so excited to dive into your story.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be here as well.
Yes. So let's get into it, right? So you are from Russia, correct?
Correct.
And yeah, you moved to the United States, you said about eighth grade. Is that right?
It is. It is.
I know so much already. So tell me, how was life like in Russia prior to coming to the U.S.?
Sure. So technically, I was born in a country that does not exist anymore, a former Soviet Union.
Okay.
And so it was a compilation of many countries. Russia was part of that union, and I was born in Russia.
Yeah. Wow.
So we came here back in 95. I went to the eighth grade. It was challenging for me, but I feel like it was not as nearly challenging as it was for my parents, who are pretty much the age that I am now. You know, so they kind of like, you know, they were already established. Okay. They had their careers, so they picked everything up, packed, you know, all of our possessions in as many bags as we could, and we came here.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so I haven't really thought about it like that when I was growing up, but now I'm reflecting on it, and it's just crazy.
Yeah. No, I can only imagine you go from one country to a totally different. What were some of like your challenges or like culture shocks when coming to the US?
Oh my goodness. Everything was different. So I would say like the number one thing that I thought was different is like everybody was smiling here. In Russia, people were not smiling. If you're smiling at somebody in Russia, they're like, why are you smiling at me?
Oh.
Yeah. It was just kind of like, that was a big culture shock. So people were a lot more friendlier. Yeah, the food was different. You know, my taste buds were kind of like not designed for American food yet at the time. School, like everything was different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Were there any like language barriers that you had to overcome?
For sure. For sure. Oh my God. Yeah. Totally different language, obviously.
Uh-huh.
We knew that we were coming here. So we tried to kind of like start learning English ahead of time.
Okay.
By the time that I came here, I knew maybe 100, 200 words. I mean, but like nothing useful, really, like a table, cup, TV set.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
But it was helpful. The school district that I was a part of, there were many families from the former Soviet Union. So the Berkeley schools is where I went.
Okay.
There was a system already in place, English second language classes. So I was kind of like in our own, like part of this Russian community,
yeah,
within, you know, Metro Detroit.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's so good. So you're not alone. You have a support and people helping you.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And in the beginning, we started just all of my classes were ESL classes. Mm-hmm. But as the way that the system was designed is that as the English was improving, they would like kick you out of the ESL classes and they're like, okay, go with the rest of the kids.
So, throw you in the pack.
Exactly.
Wow. No, that's really exciting. It's funny. I share a similar experience moving from one city to another, not a complete exact experience, but just like a culture shock in a sense. Like everyone's so friendly. What's going on? Is everything okay? No, no, that's good. So yeah. You came here. I remember you shared with me about your parents. They were diving into computers and you were like immediately fascinated. So tell me, how was that experience? As you said, that was Russia. Did y'all have computers there?
No. We didn't have. I mean, computers were extremely expensive and they were not widely available. The closest thing that I had to a computer was this gaming console called Dendy. So Dendy was a knockoff of Nintendo. So it was like all the same games, uh-huh. Looked the same, but it was Dendy. Anyway, so that's the closest that I got. When we came here. So my parents are both engineers. My dad is a very accomplished mechanical engineer, and my mom is on the engineering side as well, and a civil engineer. So they knew that they needed to get their computer skills. They knew that all of the drafting and all of the design is no longer done on pen and paper, but it's going to be done on the computer. So they knew that they needed to get the computer, and I was like really excited about it. They spent $2,000. It was a crazy amount of money. I mean, it's a lot of money today.
Yeah.
But back in 95, it was a lot of money. And they bought a computer so that I could break it and mess with it. Yeah, but that's kind of how it happened. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So you break computers and now what's going on? Because at this point, if I was your parents, you're breaking the $2,000 computer. What do they do?
So they were using the computer as a tool. And me, as a 13-year-old kid, I was using the computer as a toy to play games and play around and learn and such. So as I installed different games on the computer, like I started to run out of space.
Okay.
You know, my parents had their programs, you know. Anyway, so I had this unique ability to go through all of the folders and to identify what I don't need and just delete it. Back in those days, I think it was Windows.
Yeah.
3.11. It was right before Windows 95.
Oh, you have a great memory.
Yeah. So, it just because like that was the first operating system that I worked on. Anyway, so I would just, it's much harder to do the things today to the computer than, you know, the safety gaps were not in place. So anyways, I would just go through and I would just delete things. I'm like, yep, I don't know what this is. I'm just going to delete it. All of a sudden, CD-ROM stopped working, sound stopped working, and I like didn't put two and two together. So yeah, it needed to get
you
needed
deleted to get the fixed. Sound.
I deleted the sound. I deleted the file. You know, the sound driver. I wanted to make some more room on the hard drive for more games.
Wow.
And, all of a sudden, CD
That's
stopped
funny.
Working.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's why we need cybersecurity today.
For sure.
Because I can only imagine the different apps and stuff that people delete today. Like, oh, I don't need this. I even have to research certain things. Like, do I need this app? Like, it's taking up a lot of my space.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you're 100%. And today, you know, cybersecurity is not necessarily about deleting things, but more about installing things on your devices that would give threat actors ability into your system, into your data. And so it's the same concept, but like slightly inverse.
Yeah. Let's actually talk about that. Let's talk about the computer guy.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
So what gave you the faith, the excitement to start your own company?
Oh, my goodness. So it was a long journey working up to it. So the computer guy started in 2005. By that time, I was already working at a leading law firm in their IT department. I was there for 4 or 5 years. And I mean, I just wanted to continue growing. I felt that there was not a lot of professional development opportunities, or maybe not at the speed that I wanted to develop.
Okay,
right?
There you go.
And I wanted to have a little bit of autonomy of my own time. I didn't want to have a boss. And those are all funny things because it turned out to be completely opposite.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did it turn out to be opposite?
Well, before I had one boss, now I have every single client as a boss.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know what
that's
I mean?
That's a good point.
So, yeah, so now I have everybody's a boss.
So you have several bosses and you're like, I didn't want to work for anyone. Now I work for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it was a learning curve. I'm very happy to do what I'm doing now, but it was a long journey, you know, coming from a place where not having any, you know, any computer experience to starting an IT business.
Yeah.
Right? Like obviously there was there were things that happened in between, right?
Uh-huh.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, that's huge. That for you to just take that leap on faith like that, it speaks volumes to the fact that you know that you're destined for more, right? You could have stayed at the IT job, but you're like, no, it's time to go bigger, it's time to scale. But like what are some important reasons why businesses should have that IT support, that cybersecurity?
Yeah, so you know, it changes significantly. Today we're living in a very interesting times. If I were to take you back, let's say 20, 30 years ago, when we were not relying on computers and all of the information was stored in filing cabinets or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And if all of your business information, client information that you're storing in your files, in your filing cabinets, if all of a sudden that building was caught on fire, right, it's very easy to visualize how that company can be in business today and be out of business tomorrow because
right.
fire just like destroyed everything, right? So now, because all of the information is in some sort of digital media, if we're kind of like in the same position. So like if a hacker criminal gets access to this information and deletes it, or holds it ransom where you can't have access to it, similarly how you wouldn't be able to get to it in a fire situation.
Right.
You know, so you can be in business today and be out of business tomorrow, or, you know, business reputation, right? Like if a hacker accesses your client's files and then distributes it on dark web or whatever, the business reputation may suffer. So that's one of the reasons why it's critical to be thinking about cybersecurity from the protection of the business.
Right. No, that's really good. What all services does the Computer Guy offer? Because we have cybersecurity, but what else do you all offer to your clients or your bosses?
You're funny. So the way that we operate, we position ourselves as an extension of the organization. So even though we're a third-party service provider, the way that we really function, all of our processes and workflows are designed so that we're an extension of the organization. They pay us a flat fee. And, you know, similarly to how if they were to be hiring somebody on staff. Mm-hmm. So instead of them hiring a person on staff, they can hire us, a whole team, and just pay us a flat fee. And we handle everything. We're very comprehensive in the services that we provide, from anywhere from day-to-day help desk support, you know, computers is not working, application is not opening up, you know, whatever else, to protecting that organization from cybersecurity threats and ensuring that this organization and this company continues to stay in business to serve their clients.
Mm-hmm. That's good. What companies do you all service right now?
So we have a lot of clients in the healthcare field. We have legal, we have some manufacturing, financial planning.
So it really doesn't matter basically the field because you can service just about anyone.
So yes, that's correct. But we are more geared to those industries. We know how they operate. We know what their needs are. Mm-hmm. We know the types of challenges that they're running into on a daily basis. And we're there to help them out. You know, like going back to your previous question, you know, as far as what kind of services we provide, sure, we do IT, day-to-day, help desk, whatever, cybersecurity, but also optimizing their operational efficiencies, you know, utilizing technology. So as part of us working with them, we do try to do a really, really good job to understand how they function, what their internal workflows are, and what their challenges are. Because we work with a lot of different businesses, and because we're a small business, we can offer a lot of recommendation, a lot of solutions that may help them with their operational issues.
Yeah.
But utilizing technology, of course.
Right. No, that's good. So is there like some sort of like software that the company pretty much logs into? Like, let's say, for example, they have a request or there's a common issue that most people experience. Is there some sort of like site or something that they log into to just get those things handled immediately?
Yeah. So like if let's say your computer is not working and you're getting ready for a presentation and whatnot, and your computer is not working, and it's due in a couple hours, that would be very challenging and it would be pretty stressful for you, right? You shouldn't necessarily, as an employee of the company, you shouldn't necessarily be asked for troubleshooting and getting to the root cause of that issue, right? You got to be focusing at doing what you're doing best,
right,
as an employee of the company, right? So at that point, you would reach out to us and you say, hey, such and such is not working. And then we would take it from there, get it working for you again, and hand the solver back to you.
Okay, so is there like tickets based on like emergency or urgency rather?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So when from the service perspective, for sure, that's everything is a service request, service ticket. But as we're working kind of like with our clients, and as we are learning about them and learning about their business, through our fractional CIO offering, we can identify the challenges that they're having and then offer some solutions that they can implement to address those challenges.
What are some common challenges that you experience across the board with all of the companies that you service?
Yeah, so like if we were to take cybersecurity, put it aside, right? I would say one of the main challenges is to collaboration. Mm. So think of a company, 10, 20 people, they're accessing documents, they're sharing documents, spreadsheets, whatever. But, you know, pre-pandemic, everybody was working in the same office. Post-pandemic, there is a lot of remote workers,
yeah,
there's hybrid, right? So how do you create an environment where team members, employees can collaborate and share documents in a secure and safe way, but also in an efficient way. You know, I would argue that if you were creating a document, let's say you and I are collaborating on a presentation, you creating that presentation and emailing it to me, that would be one way that we can do this collaboration. But there are more efficient ways of doing it,
mm-hmm,
without you necessarily emailing me anything.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's too in deep,
sure,
into
the
software, but like, what does that more efficient way look like?
Yeah, so utilizing a lot of cloud solutions, you know, there is Microsoft 365 has a lot of amazing offerings. Google Workspace has a ton of offerings as well.
Yeah.
There are many others,
mm-hmm,
and it really depends. And they all offer their own, like they all have their pluses and minuses. And then understanding what other tools the company uses, then, you know, putting this all together, we may come in and recommend a certain solution. Because while we're fixing for, let's say, the collaboration issue, or not issue, but for collaboration optimization, right? We know where the organization is going, and we are kind of putting these pieces in place by recommending a solution that may not necessarily be, like, while it would fix the issue that they're having today,
mm-hmm,
it can also bring some additional things to the table where the company may not necessarily be using it today, but as we're seeing where they're going, as they're ready to implement, it's already there. So we don't have to necessarily offer one solution, and then when they grow a little bit and now they have additional needs, now we're like, okay, let's put the solution away. Let's bring something else in.
Oh, that's good.
So we're thinking outside the box, and that's one of our major offerings.
Yeah. That was going to be my next question. And I love that you are very forward thinking. Like, we see this is where you're headed. And so now they give you a call, already handled. We've already thought about it for you.
100%. hey, you guys, I know you're enjoying our episode, but please make sure to check out the computer guy at www.tcgway.com for all of your IT needs. That's www.tcgway.com. All righty, let's get back to the episode now.
What are some reasons or ways that the computer guy differentiates from any other cybersecurity or IT management company?
So we have what we call three uniques. You know, that's part of our, like, of who we are. So maybe that would be like a good answer to your question. So our first unique is we don't do band-aid fixes. So we deal with technology. Is it possible for an issue to resurface again? 100%. But we have a very unique ability to get to the root of the issue, fix it, and make sure that it doesn't come back again. So that's number one. Number two, we are super easy to get a hold of. It's a challenge in my industry. We are in the support, we're in the support capacity. So if we're there for you to rely on us when you have issues, and if you're having challenges getting a hold of us, then we're failing, right?
Right.
So like, it's super easy to get a hold of us. We're very responsive. Similarly to an issue that I shared with you that we just ran into last night.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the third is we're an extension of your organization. We're not just a vendor. There are a lot of companies that are just IT vendors, and I can talk a little bit about that as well. We're like a legit extension of your organization. We want to be, like, that's part of our culture. We mm-hmm. want our clients to look at us as an extension of their organization. A lot of companies that you deal with in the IT field, and it's not good or bad, it's just kind of how it is. They'll come in and they'll say, yep, we'll take care of your computer issues, and please let us know which specific applications you use. And these are the only applications that we're going to provide support mm-hmm. to you for. So if your staff reaches out to these other companies and for help with something outside of those specific business line applications, then chances are they may not get support because they're a vendor.
Right.
With us, we're aligning with the business initiatives of our clients. So if they have to bring in a new business line application, or they need to bring something in to help them be better, we're gonna take point on it and assist them with it.
Wow. Does that ever become challenging when you have a client who has this specific application that they're using and they can't use like an application that you're currently offering? Does it ever become like a challenge trying to meet those needs?
It's for sure. It's mm-hmm. it's a challenge, 100%. But it's IT. IT in general is a I like to describe IT as it's like a fast moving bullet train, and like if you ain't holding on to it, you're gonna get left behind. So, clients bring different applications. However, at the core of how they function, they almost all function the same way.
Okay. Yeah.
So we have, I train my staff. And on being able to see the similarities between different business line applications and how we can assist them. Now we're not claiming to be professionals in how to use that specific business line application. Like, we don't learn how the intricacies of it, but we support them.
Okay.
So I'll give you a quick example. Let's say the application is not doing what it's supposed to do. Because we are your IT department, we will reach out on your behalf to the vendor to fix whatever the technical issue is and then bring it back to you and say, okay, it's resolved. Now you can continue using it.
Oh, that's so helpful.
Yeah.
Because it alleviates your client having to reach out to that vendor, being on hold, since they're such, a busy organization. And now it's like, nope, we did it for you. Here's your resolution, in a sense.
Yes.
That's helpful. You know what I love, too? You said that you guys are, your first unique was you're not a Band-Aid serving company.
Right.
I think that is phenomenal because a lot of times today it's always, did you restart your computer first?
Right, 100%.
Like, yeah. Now I call in, like, I already restarted my computer. I'm having other issues.
Sure.
Why? Is that really a thing, like restarting your computer?
For sure. Okay. Restarting is really a thing. It like solves a lot of issues. But you know, I'm a business owner, right? So I have to align our clients' initiatives with my business initiatives. Mm-hmm. So us not being a Band-Aid, you know, fix company helps us out. So remember how I mentioned that we our offering is like a flat fee service. Yeah. They pay us and then, they get unlimited support from us. So what that means is that we're sitting at the same side of the table. So here, I'll this is kind of how I explain it. And it's like a eureka moment that I had. Because it wasn't always like that.
Okay.
The progression of the computer guy was like, oh my God, since 2005. So we've changed so many times. But, you know, before we were like a plumber, electrician, whatever, right? You know, something's not working. You know, you call the electrician, they'll come in, they'll fix the issue, and they'll charge you, and that's it. So that's what the computer guy was. Oh, your computer's not working? I'll come to your house. Because that's kind of how we started it, going to people's homes. I'll fix your computer issue and you'll pay me, right? So essentially, I'm benefiting when you're having issues, right?
Exactly.
When you have an issue, you're going to call me, I'm going to come, fix, and now I'm making money, right? When I come in and I say, you know what, Magia, you just give me like a flat fee and I'm going to cover everything. Now, we're sitting at the same side of the table because when you're having an issue, it's costing me money because I am dedicating resources to fix that issue, right? It's unlimited resources that we have to dedicate, right? So now we're both hurting.
Yeah.
Where before, when you were hurting, I was getting paid.
Right.
Now when you're hurting, I'm like, oh man, I'm hurting too. So by not doing Band-Aid fixes, it's helping me be operationally strategic, right? Like it's costing me money if my team is not fixing the issue at the root cause right away, and then you have to open up another ticket for the same issue or reopen the ticket. Now I have a technician dedicated to fixing it again, and it's costing me money.
Yeah.
So you see how I'm linking our clients' business objectives of like having their issues fixed once and for all with my business objectives of keeping my cost low.
Yeah.
Lower.
No, I like that. I think that it's so pure-hearted because, you know, a lot of times people will put a Band-Aid just to come back out. But for you, it's like we're on the same side of the table. Yeah. I already know your mission, your goals, and where you're headed. So not only do I want to fix it, now I want to fix it forever. And sure. I think that is just super special that you take that approach as a business owner and just understanding your business model.
Sure.
What changed? How did you realize, like, okay, let me change up my strategy here? Like, what kind of got you to that point?
We evolved as a company, and because the needs of our clients have evolved as well. Back in the day, you had a computer issue, I'll come to your home business, fix your computer, and you're good. Today, it's a lot more challenging, right? This is where cyber security comes into play. You can, like as I mentioned, you can be in business today and not be in business tomorrow. So now we're doing a lot more monitoring, a lot more proactive management, making sure that, you know, we're scanning for vulnerabilities and in different software packages that you may have. So there is a lot of time that's happening behind the scenes that we have to do to keep you guys or you know, our clients secure. And it's hard to bill for that.
Okay.
You know, it's. I don't like getting bills that I don't know what I'm paying for. Like, oh, here's a bill. Like, you know, so it just became a lot easier where we just charge a flat fee, and then we just let us do what we do, and it kind of like unshackles us and just lets us be your IT department.
Yeah.
So it was an evolution of the industry, and we just had to stay with the, you know, with the changes.
Hey, that's awesome. I've been reading this book, A Key Person of Influence, and it talks about how your success, your thinking, the thinking that you had 5 years ago that granted you success will not work in the next 5 years of your life. You have to change the way that you think, change your strategy. And hearing you say that, that's exactly what I'm hearing out of you. Like, what worked 5 years ago, it doesn't work today as the industry evolved. And I totally understand that too, because if I get a bill for something and you're like giving me all these itemized things, like, okay, like, what is this? I didn't need this. And like, well, you needed that for this to work. And exactly. It's like, oh, so I can understand. And I ask that, because you think about businesses as all entrepreneurs are growing and evolving, and just that inspiration that, hey, I might need to check my strategy. It may need to change a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think about that when you share that. Sure. Because a lot of business owners need to kind of take that into mind.
I mean, like, look at what happened with pandemic. You know, January, February, everybody's working in the office. March, you know, in Michigan, we shut down for a little bit, right? So if we were to step back to some of the forward-thinking solutions that we were talking about earlier, when majority, I would say like vast majority of our clients that were following our recommendations, when they had to pivot to working from home, it was no big deal. They already had all the tools they needed.
Yeah.
That we just like, yep, no problem. Let us configure it. Let us set it up for you really quick. You already have everything. You don't have to pay for anything else.
That's good.
Yeah. So and then, you know, post-pandemic, I mean, just things are changing really quick, and IT is changing so fast. Oh, my goodness.
We need IT. Like,
100%. Yeah. 100%.
It's so funny. I remember working, two things. I know a lot of businesses now are just like, well, the pandemic, so we have to always consider this happening again. Like, I can only imagine, like, it's just at the top of everyone's mind. But I remember working for a company, and they were a little like outdated, if you will. They just didn't have certain technology that most companies have. And prior to the pandemic, I'm like, hey, you know, we should work from home some days. And they're like, what? Like, that's crazy. We don't do that.
Sure.
And I remember when the pandemic happened and we had the opportunity to work from home. And I'm like, did I speak this up? Like, a little nervous. Like, but
you
like,
were
just
prophetic
thinking,
about it.
Right. Hey, that's what they say. But just thinking about, you know, that is the importance of having cybersecurity, and like how you all are so forward thinking. I'm going to keep repeating that because it just alleviates so much stress from business owners to know, hey, we've already thought about that. We knew you would come to this crossroad.
For sure. And, and cybersecurity is so challenging because you're not fixing problems. Like, you're not fixing computer issues. You're thinking the way that a criminal would be thinking, right?
Because
you gotta be thinking like, where is the vulnerability? How can criminal leverage various ways to get in? And where is the risk for the business? Is the risk in the information? Is the risk in not being able to operate, like locking computers down, and just like thinking like that? And it's constantly evolving. So, it's cybersecurity is a totally different mindset. So much so that our industry is changing even today. You know, there are companies that are focusing on just, you know, fixing computers and operational efficiencies and such. And then there are companies that are like, they don't do any of that, but they're doing a lot in cybersecurity field. It's and that's kind of where we're going as an organization. You know, we're thinking over the next 5 years, over the next 3 years, we're moving more into cybersecurity. That's really where the need is, in my opinion. You know, computers are becoming less expensive. Your data is going more into the cloud, right? Like where before companies were saving files on a file server. Now they're saving it in the cloud. Yeah. And if you think about it, you know, some would argue that if your data was in your computer and your server in an office, then a hacker would not be able to get to it unless they would break into the office. But now you're putting this data in the cloud, and unless you properly secure the cloud, you're just making it easier for hackers to get access to it. Sure, because now it's in the cloud. If they know your password and you don't have certain security solutions in place, they'll log in pretending to be you, and now they have access to whatever you have access to.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I love how you alleviate those breaches. Like when you said thinking like a criminal, Like, that makes so much sense because you have your client, and I have to think in the mind of the opposition.
100%.
Whoever is trying to attack my client, making sure my client, like you said, they aren't in a vulnerable space to have, you know, access being, you know, towards the opposition, rather. Yeah. I am curious, and I hope this is not controversial, but sure, I'm curious, sure, with AI, are there any possibilities that you may see in the future that can be a breach or could cause some sort of just IT or cybersecurity red flags?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, 100%. Ton. Have you ever received an email where you're like, they were asking you for money, or they were asking you to send something? Like,
yes.
Have you ever, like, okay. And when you read that email, did you see, like, the grammar may have been, like, kind of, like, off, and you're like, yeah, that
person. Yeah, I click on the email now to see what email it came from.
Right. So that's really smart of you. But, like, from the text, from the content itself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just off. It's, like, lowercase, capital.
Sure, sure.
Business. It just doesn't look professional. It's exactly. Weird.
Or, like, somebody, sometimes they make grammatical mistakes, or it's, like, just not how we...
It is so strange and so obvious. I don't get it.
So right. So now with AI, you know, you can just have it generate you an email message, make it sound like, you know, like an American of a certain type of an education, right? So that would help criminals out to look a little bit more legit. We're just scratching the surface where AI can help them out. AI can also generate, oh my goodness, AI can generate certain scripts where before you needed to be very knowledgeable in being able to create certain programs, now AI can do that for you. And we're not even talking about, you know, all the information that we put in the AI.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, so where does that information go, and who has access to that information, right? So, like, any sort of private information you put in. I have friends that work in regulated industries for big organizations where they get mandated from their company not to put any business intelligence of private information into AI.
Okay.
For any purpose, just because it's so unknown.
Yeah, how do you alleviate those risks knowing that that's such in high demand? Like, everyone's using AI.
Sure. So at the moment, the only way that we can do it is twofold. We can either block access to AI. You know, so you know, we block a lot of access for our clients, right? Like, preventing their employees from going to websites that may be harmful, not on purpose, but by accident, right? So, like, we'll just, you know, put that safety guard in place.
That wall blocker.
Exactly. And, you know, so we can block AI as well, but also just education. You know, so the days where you can rely 100% on IT and just, like, be like, yep, IT got it, those days are gone. It's mm-hmm. it's a shared collaborative effort between IT and the employees, and teaching them and providing education, and not just, like, talking at them, but also, like, explaining why and kind of trying to get through to them that way.
Yeah. That is awesome. Just to know, like, your company, the foundation and the morals that you stand on, I think that is so magnificent. Especially, you can tell, like, you've been in business for almost 20 years. Like, you're like, listen, it's way deeper. It's a relationship here that we have to really build. I am curious, what does the computer guy look like in the next 5 years?
We're growth focused, continuing growing with the right clients. We're not the best for everybody out there. There's specific type of clients that we can add a lot of value to that we want to work with, where it's like a really good relationship. So continuing growing organically that way, and continuing focusing more and more focus on cybersecurity.
Yeah.
And protecting our clients. It's a little bit selfish. So it's like twofold. It's like, I really enjoy it, but it's also selfish. Like, I want my clients to be in business, right?
Hey.
Like, I don't want nothing to happen to them. So
absolutely. You have to be like that.
right.
I am curious too, what has been the most rewarding part about your entrepreneur journey?
Where we are, in, you know, where their the operational maturity of the organization. I would say today, what's rewarding is seeing my team grow. I have an amazing team. They work so hard. They love our clients. I'm so lucky to have them, and seeing them grow, coming in and really enjoying the subject matter, and growing professionally. So I love that. Also, it's like a, you know, my company is like, it's like my child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have kids at the moment. You know, God willing, in the future. But to me, it's like my child. So seeing it grow and seeing it being, you know, functioning and adding value to our clients, and you know, we help our clients so much. So like seeing that is just very, very rewarding.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're the forefront, and you're building it piece by piece.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. What advice do you have to someone who was an entrepreneur who's looking to get into the tech industry?
It's challenging. So like, you know, just be ready. Be mm-hmm. ready to grind. Be ready to hustle. It's, you know, there is this glamour, the perception of glamour of like having your own business, right? Oh, he's, you know, he owns his own business. It's a lot of work, actually, yeah. right? So like the ability to manage yourself. Would you hire yourself? Right. So like, you know, if you can't manage yourself, then you're going to have to find somebody that can manage you, right? It's, you know, working for somebody else. I mean, there's reading a lot of books. I think personal development is very important. Getting your mindset, you know, working on your mindset. And it's not like one or two things. It's like, it's a constant struggle. I mean, you know, just... What are your thoughts? I mean, can you...
I think that was so spot on. Like, I thought that was awesome. You know, for your question, would you hire yourself? That goes to ask yourself, do you have the processes in place? Are you working with the proper ethics? You know, is your morals, or is everything in the right place mentally, emotionally, physically? Like, is everything in alignment? And does it make sense? I think that right there alone is super spot on, because it opens the door to ask yourself more questions. Right. Okay, would I hire myself? Okay, if I wouldn't, what do I need to do to get better so that I can be my best employee if I was hiring myself?
Yeah.
You know, I'm such a believer in what, you know, he attracts things to you. Whatever you put out is what you'll get back. And so if you're a great employee yourself, chances are really high you will also, you know, attract another great employee. So if you're already that person in position, you're just going to continue to be blessed with more people that are just like you.
Yeah, I can 100% relate to that. I would also like say that, you know, get your finances in order, or like have a conversation with your significant other. Or, you know, when I started my company, I was 22. So I remember thinking about it. I'm like, all right, I still live with my parents. I'm about to leave this company. I'm going to go on my own. If everything falls apart, you know, I still have room and I still have food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like it can be very financially challenging, you know, because you're not really seeing the fruits of your labor right away. It's not like, again, it's not like a job. You're going to go out there and expect to make a living, right? There may be a period of time. So that forward thinking mm-hmm. about that, financial stress is terrible. It's like one of those evil types of stresses, I think, right? And so having financial stress in addition to the stress of finding clients and servicing the clients, it can be a lot challenging, I think.
Yeah, I would like to add to that to help with that financial stress is don't make your strategy so complicated, or your offer, your services. Start somewhere and then build. I always share this story. It's so funny, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Tell me.
So I play Monopoly on the phone, right? And, like, it's so hard to beat the computer, in my opinion, right? And I beat the computer, and I'm like, how did I do? Yeah, tell me about it. And so what I did was, though, I started small. I just bought a few pieces of land, and then I just started to build on it with what I had versus buying up the entire board and going broke because I can't afford everyone's rent. And I realized that. So I'm like, that's something to apply even in your business strategy. Start small and build with what you have. There's a scripture. Jesus says that, you know, when you can handle a little, God will bless you with a lot. So if you can handle those simple tasks, those small things that you have, you will show that you're responsible to handle more. So that's how I like to look at it,
100%.
Too. 100%.
I remember thinking about that. I didn't know that Jesus said that.
Yeah, it's a parable he shared, yeah.
But I remember thinking about it. I'm like, man, like, why am I not getting these big clients, like, years ago? And I'm like, maybe I'm just, like, not ready for them. So I, like, legit, like, remember thinking about that when I'm in a, you know, tough situation. And listen, when you're in your own, have your own business, you're problem solving every day, you know, not just client problems, but employee problems, business problems, all these, they just come up constantly, right? So you're like, okay, God thinks that I can handle it.
Yeah. And that's where you are today, which goes back to your question. Well, and am I a good employee, you know, for myself? And that just all goes back to that. Am I where I need to be and being responsible?
Sure. Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, like, you know, having a business is awesome. I really enjoy it. I mean, it took me a long time to get. And sometimes I wake up and I'm like, man, this is tough. Oh, my God. But, you know, it's just temporary. And, you know, I think support system is very important.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, you know, surrounding yourself with other people that are, you know, cheering for you or maybe not even cheering. What am I thinking? Like, I'm thinking more of like a mentor.
Yeah.
Mentorship. I think mentorship is huge.
It is, like, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a mentor. I'm actually just got it. Well, yeah, when I got my mentor, like, you have a lot of mentors throughout your life.
Sure.
But when I got my mentor for my business, it just took off. Like, he showed me things that I didn't even recognize, you know. Yeah. And that, I, like, wholeheartedly agree with mentorship.
Yeah, we're standing on the shoulders of giants, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, right?
They're mentors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Coachable, you know, be coachable. You know,
it's a journey,
right? Like, you know, a mentor, once you identify, like, this is the person that knows what they're talking about, and I'm going to, you know, listen to them, right? Like, not blindly, but, like, you know, with an open mind.
Yeah,
I think being coachable is important, because, you know, a coach or a mentor will give you a recommendation and you may not really understand what that recommendation is, and that's normal, right? Because if you knew, you wouldn't be in the situation,
exactly.
Right? So it's like, you know, they're helping you see the way, and just being coachable, I think, is huge.
Absolutely. It's so funny you say that. My fiance, we just had a similar conversation, how he's experienced a lot of things in life that I'm now experiencing. And now it's like, I have to be coachable and, like, understanding, like, hey, he went through this. He knows what he's talking about.
Right.
And so
right.
It's even, like, in a sense, like, him being my mentor and journey, you know, along this journey of life. So yeah. It's beautiful that you said that. I am curious. This has been so great. I don't want to let you go, but
okay.
I need to ask you one question.
Sure, sure.
What do you want to be remembered by?
Oh, my gosh. At which point?
When you're like, bye, y'all, it's been a nice life. what do you want people to remember you by?
When people think about me, right? Like, I want them to, or like, Roman is fair. Roman was a fair person. I want to help people grow. In general, I enjoy helping people. Like, if I meet somebody who's a good human being, I want to help them. So, I think that's really what I would love for my legacy to be. You know, that he was fair and that he was helped me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's what I think about some of my mentors and some of the people that that were my friends who are no longer with us. You know, like, I constantly think about them, and it's, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I can even hear that from our conversation. Yeah. You're definitely fair.
Yeah.
Definitely
how,
consider
how about
all
you?
People. Me?
Yeah.
I always say I want to be remembered by my heart.
Okay.
I can be a very caring person, very kind, and just understanding. And so it's so funny. Sometimes I felt like in my life, like, God, this heart is so big of mine. Like, I'm always trying to do this and do that and help others, that I had to learn even help myself.
Right.
So it's funny you're interviewing me now.
I like schmoozing, you know.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, definitely my heart, though. Definitely my heart. So, yeah, thanks for asking. Sure. It feels great to be interviewed.
You're so funny. Yeah. I should welcome you to my podcast.
Hey, because that's coming soon, isn't it?
That's coming soon, 100%.
We're going to have to talk about that.
Sounds good.
So, Roman, can you give the audience any social media, your website again, where they can find you and get set up with your IT services?
Sure. So the easiest way is to just go on our website. It's www.tcg, which is an abbreviation for the computer guy, and then WAY, so tcgway.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Roman Goldstein. You can find me on Facebook, the computer guy. But if you want to shoot me an email directly, I would love to engage with you. And any questions, any aspiring entrepreneurs, love having those conversations. You can email me directly. It's roman@tcgway.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This is great.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
That's a wrap. And we want to thank you all for staying in tune and locked into another episode of Unlocked with Keys. Make sure you go check out Roman and his IT company. You need it. We all need to make sure that we're protected and that we have the proper policies and cybersecurity in place. So I will see you next time. Bye.